The funniest thing Damon has ever said, and it was not captured on air.
As is, of course, the tradition.
And thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and my drunk scale rating is zero. But I don't know, maybe Jason will have a number tonight, because if he doesn't, I don't think Damon does. But welcome to our first episode of the Saints offseason, and what a week it's been. Assistant coaches have been sent packing, Junior Gallette gets arrested, and Mickey Loomis laughs in the face of your $20 million cap crisis. We'll talk about this, plus the playoffs, in this week's episode, so put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. What is thou number?
Just 1.5.
Taking it easy now that the season's over, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I punished myself enough during the season.
During the holidays.
Well, that too.
Yeah. Oh, is this our first episode of the new year?
Yeah,
I believe so. Happy New Year to everybody.
Happy New Year.
The only time we can say it for another year.
Yeah, for first episode of 2015. Damon, welcome to the show. Any number to report?
Thank you. No, not tonight.
I didn't think so.
Damn, starting the new year off on the wrong foot.
Yeah, our little show is growing up. We're not a bunch of drunk idiots anymore. We're a bunch of sober idiots. All right, so let's get started with Game Not Happening. Headlines.
Hello, I'm Kent Brockman, and this is Eye on Springfield.
That's a quick little shift.
You see what I did there?
You're shifty.
Yeah. Hey, imagine trying to prepare for the show. I had to move the headlines segment up here. And...
All right.
Get a little zip-a-doo. Okay, so obviously the first headline to talk about is good old Junior Gallette. Man.
It's your boy.
I don't know. I have to wait for the results of the investigation to come out and to call him my boy anymore. Wow. So for those of you who haven't heard, oh, have you not heard? I was under the impression that everyone had heard. yeah, Junior. So what was this, Monday? Tuesday? Monday.
Yesterday morning.
It was Monday morning. Junior Gallette gets arrested. A woman who, I guess the general consensus is that she was either a dancer, and I'm using air quotes for dancer, or other stories have reported that she had been like living in his house.
Housekeeper.
Yeah.
Housekeeping.
Cooking, cleaning. Anyway, he apparently told her to leave, and argument ensued. Her version says that he ripped her earring out of her ear, and she was bleeding, and domestic violence charges will be filed. According to his attorney, he asked her to leave. She grabbed a knife and threatened them, and the dog got aroused by the commotion, and the dog ripped her earring out and scratched her face. And her attorney says that there are witnesses that will prove her version of the story is correct. And his attorney says there are witnesses who will prove that his version of the story is correct. So what do you guys make of it?
Junior's, even if Junior did it, he's definitely going to have his boys take the fall for him, if that's the case. But I mean, I don't know, until everything comes out, I don't know. It's just, I can tell you one thing. He's not – if he is on the team next year, he damn well sure better not have that C on his chest.
Mm.
That's what matters.
Not for bringing all this. This is not – you just don't get yourself in this kind of situation if you're a captain, right?
Of course not. I mean, even if he's innocent, it's just – it's not a good – right. It's not a good spot to put yourself in.
Yeah.
Especially damn. Considering everything that happened this year.
Yeah, your Vilma comments.
Well, you look – sure, everybody remembers a couple of years ago there was an incident in Lafayette with Will Smith
mm-hmm.
and his wife, and that never turned into anything, you know. So, like you said, we need to, I guess, let the investigation run its course. But either way, you're right. If you just signed a $60 million contract, I mean, you don't.
40.
You know, you don't put yourself in this situation. You just don't be.
How do you keep yourself out of that situation? I mean, if it's a dancer, I guess you just don't bring her home.
And it is a dancer. It's some sort of money gold digger that he's hanging around. And look, I understand that if I was 20 years old or in my 20s and worth $40 million, I mean, I knew who I hung around with in my 20s. And I did have $40 million.
But he's got a girlfriend who he says will tell.
Was his girlfriend there?
I wouldn't say. Well, he's claiming she was, according to his attorney.
Yeah, his actual girlfriend.
She will vouch that his story is true.
Oh, well, then maybe, then right. But again, even, and I'm not saying his side of the story.
His girlfriend's a gold digger, too, unless that's.
No. Right. I'm not saying his girlfriend isn't, you know, wasn't there, or that his side of the story wasn't 100% true. And he didn't do anything. But, you know, I don't know. The lady who is supposedly the victim, it kind of sounds suspicious to me.
His lawyer said, you know, the statement that came out today was that he told her to get the fuck out, and she,
well,
she threatened him with a knife. So, I mean, who knows? We'll see when everything comes to light.
Oh, my gosh, I'm getting sick. You smell like aftershave and taco meat.
Yes, I do.
All right, so that's Gillette. Not much else to say about it. I'm with you guys until the investigation and whatever is accepted as the truth by the populace, right? Because who's gonna? It's a he said, she said. And the other thing, his attorney did say that he did video the incident, that Gillette actually was videoing it with his phone, and police are, quote, seeking out the video on his phone. It's like seeking out, like, oh, it's going to take 5 years. No, it's when you record someone on the phone, you just hit your camera app and you swipe through. You play the video. So I'm not sure that he really has the video.
Too early.
Yeah. Either that or, yeah, they have the video and they're just not telling anybody about it.
Still, it's crazy what's happened to Junior since she bought his jersey this year.
I know, dude.
It conveniently, you
know, I'm going to go buy Matt Ryan's jersey.
Now. It's still at my house. I need to get it out of my house.
Because it's not in my possession.
Do y'all remember what I told you about jersey buying?
Yeah, Damon.
And all the one I told y'all, but you don't listen to me. Y'all know too fucking much. Y'all can't, you know, y'all the smartest people in the world.
You did have a bad year of jersey buying.
You know, you should stick with your Vilma, your Scott Fujita.
Wait till they're retired.
I mean, right. Think
about both players for jerseys who we bought for totally sucked this year.
I told you.
Well, Gillette didn't suck.
He didn't suck. He had 10 sacks.
He played a decent year. He had 10 off the field problems. I know. If he's convicted, I have to throw that jersey away. So wait a minute. No, I'm not. I'm starting a collector's edition. The Saints villains. I got a sharper jersey, and I'm going to have a Gillette jersey.
You got to create a little voodoo shrine.
I'm going to go get a Will Smith jersey.
Got to get like an Albert Connell jersey.
So, that's Gillette's situation, and we'll talk about it next week if any more develops. Next headline, Saints, which really should be the headline, if not for Gillette. The Saints firing 3 assistant coaches, or I guess you call them all assistants, right?
An uncoupling.
First one, if y'all want to talk about longtime tight end coach Terry Malone, who came into the regime since Peyton got here in 06.
That was a little surprising to see a guy who, I mean, who, like you said, who has been here since 06.
Yeah.
All right, but he wasn't always – he's been the tight end coach since 06?
Yeah.
Well, our tight end underperformed this year.
Well, he was injured. But here's the thing. I mean, nobody cares about Terry Malone. Everybody cares about the real culprits.
What we do care about, because I think the thing with Terry Malone is it's shocking because he's had tight end success a lot. I mean, Shockey was successful when he was here. They got the Super Bowl. Josh Hill is a good second tight end. It could probably start on a lot of teams. If Jimmy Graham had a bad year, like you just said, Jason, it was because he was hurt, not because Terry Malone's a bad coach. I wonder if this is not necessary coaching. I don't know. I have a conspiracy theory forming on that one. I don't know.
I mean, I'll be honest. I had no opinion on Terry Malone before he even got fired. I'll be honest. I didn't even know that he was a coach on the team. So.
All right. So the one I guess you want to talk about is Henry Ellard, wide receiver coach and or assistant secondary coach Andre Curtis.
Well, the wide receivers struggled with a lot of drops this year. So, yeah, the hell with Henry Ellard. Screw him for being on the Rams all those games back in the 80s.
Exactly. Realize
how many times he beat the Saints in a Rams uniform.
Right. And, you know, I mean, really, since C.J. Johnson.
Curtis Johnson, or also known as C.J.
Right.
You want to finish that statement, Jason, Damon?
I had to sneeze, so I muted you.
Ever since C.J. Johnson.
I had to sneeze, so I muted you. Yeah, since he left at wide receiver coach, it's Eller definitely did not step up. So I don't know who you go get. I'd be lying if I said, I knew where to go.
Tranks, you know.
I don't. Yeah, well, I wouldn't know either.
How has Tulane been faring? Is Curtis Johnson's job ever in jeopardy?
I think they had a losing record this year.
How can you tell if Tulane's doing good? I mean, I don't know.
I didn't pay attention.
They have a lot of young players, so they kind of struggled with this.
They have a lot of players in their late teens, early 20s. A lot of young players. No 30-year-olds on that team whatsoever, huh, Jason?
Shut the fuck up, asshole.
Damon's in a rare mood tonight.
Kids
got jokes.
Go drink a pony or something.
Alright. I don't know. I guess you look in the college ranks, or I'm sure other teams. I mean, yeah, do you pick up another team's receivers coach who was fired?
You got to find somebody. I don't know if there's anybody on staff already or I don't know. There's somebody.
Oh, yeah. That's how the system works. Are you surprised that only the assistant secondary coach was fired and not, Wes McGriff himself? Well,
supposedly he's turned down the Vanderbilt opportunity.
That'd be funny if Peyton was like, I think you ought to take that.
Well, right. We thought we were going to get rid of him
first
by default. Right. And now he's staying. I mean, like you said, can there be a, well, I'm sorry you said you were going. We've already filled your spot.
I'm really surprised that it's like this guy's going to be the scapegoat, Andre Curtis.
I don't know. Something's still going to happen. Somebody else.
You don't think they're done? You think more?
I think there has to be. I don't think that's enough. That's not the problem, you know. Yeah, assistant secretary coach. Good.
Right. That was the problem all
right
along.
Right. That was our only problem.
No wonder why nobody could figure it out. He was buried so deep.
I don't
know. Well, you're going to have, you know, the or maybe they've already had it. Have they had all the bowl games? What is that, the East-West Bowl or the South?
Those will be long after the championship game.
Right. So that's where a lot of coaches get together and they start chit-chatting, and people, even coaches who are not on a team, go there kind of looking for jobs to, you know, network. So maybe, you know, you'll wait till Sean Payton will wait till after that, so he kind of knows who's out there and sees what's going on before he maybe makes a change. But look, I know a lot of people are calling for Joe Vitt's head, and
well,
that's
even maybe never... you yourself, right?
I would. I like him on the team.
Did. I think he did too.
I like Joe Vitt on the team. I just wish he was the linebackers coach. You know, I think what I said before. Look, make him the assistant head coach.
Because he did such a good job as the head coach.
Well, it doesn't matter. I mean, you know, like we all know, he's Sean Payton's BFF. He's not going anywhere. Joe Vitt could be just plain old assistant head coach. Assistant to the head coach, and he can do whatever.
Show up to the facility. Just hang out with the boys. Crack you.
Right.
That's okay. Yeah, same thing.
You know, I'm sure Joe Vitt knows a lot, and he's the fiery speech, and but God bless, man, our linebackers have sucked.
Yeah.
And Greg McMahon, don't think we haven't forgotten about you.
Yeah. Why is his name not on this list?
Right. Why isn't he gone?
Yeah, he should be gone.
Because you know why? Because he's a nice guy.
He must have pictures of Sean Payton.
but Sean's already divorced. He can use.
No, maybe it's with a live boy or a dead girl.
Oh, God. Jeez. I knew you were going to go there.
Well, that's the old, I mean, y'all have heard that line before.
No, I've never.
No, not really.
You've never heard that line with Governor Edwards?
No.
No.
Well, he said the only way he could lose if he's found in bed with a dead girl or a live boy.
Oh, my God.
Really? Have y'all not heard that? Are y'all not from South Louisiana?
I've never heard that. Anyway.
Where do you go from there?
I know.
Thanks, David.
We would like to apologize to purchasers of the executive version of this record for the peremptory nature of that announcement. The brusque tone was intended for buyers of the cheaper version.
I do not think all of the coaching changes are done until after... You know, the college...
that long? That's a long time.
Yeah, because by then you might miss out.
I don't know even who...
I would
love to have Dick Fangio.
Dick Fangio?
Yes.
I think his name is Vic Fangio.
Oh, yeah, it is Vic.
It's a Freudian
Dick,
slip.
Dick on your mind, huh?
It's a Freudian slip, I think, about young boys.
But, I mean, I don't know. Because think about it, of all the vacancies, no head coaches have been hired yet, so... I think we're still waiting for the dominoes to fall and see how it shakes out.
Didn't he say that? Oh, no, he was talking about that assistant GM guy. Other teams wanted him to interview.
Ryan Pace, the Saints assistant, he actually declined the Jets' offer to interview him for GM.
Nice.
I guess that bad. He didn't want to even interview for the GM job of the Jets.
Right. I'd love to be a GM, but
I think they're going on their third GM in the last 4 years, 3 years, you know.
Yeah, it's not the GM's problem.
Well, you don't want to go to an organization that gets rid of them that quickly, because I think the guy who's there now, I think he was only there 2 years, you know. So I don't blame him for not wanting to go into that situation.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, at this point with the coaching, like, haven't they seen enough of Bill Johnson and the defensive line and the just averageness that it's been?
I have.
Why isn't he gone? Bill Johnson, he's not related to Bill Brasky, is he?
Yeah, that's our guy. I mean, we liked him.
But, yeah, I mean, shit, like, Terry Malone has been here longer than Bill Johnson. Bill Johnson's probably done a worse job.
Right. That's right.
Right.
Well, they said they're not done.
But look, okay, answer me this. Okay, let's stop. You know, I mean, we're talking about assistant coaches, and look, a defensive line coach. You know, how much difference do they really make?
I think if you get a good one, I mean,
you think so?
I don't know. Aaron Cromer leaves, and our offensive line starts to fall apart. Yes, we lost players as well, but
right. You know, I don't. I mean, again, you know, we're talking about assistant. Coach.
Lost Curtis Johnson. How much do you harp on Curtis Johnson?
No, I miss Curtis Johnson. I like him.
You know? We spent the whole season drilling down to the assistant coaches as the problems.
You look at Super Bowl winning teams, a lot of their assistant coaches end up becoming head coaches somewhere. Just, you know, these assistant coaches are very important.
But position coaches. I mean, if we have a problem where our players who we know have performed in the past are not currently performing, it's got to be a coaching issue. And yeah, the head coach isn't out there making sure that they line up right. That's the assistant coach's job. They don't make sure that they fine tune their techniques. That's the assistant coach's job. And if they're playing sloppy, then
yeah,
that's their fault.
So here's the description on old Bill Johnson on old NewOrleansSaints.com. Embarking on his sixth season as a key member of the Saints' defensive coaching staff.
Key member.
Bill Johnson possesses a long history of developing the skills of top-notch defensive linemen throughout his coaching career. In his 34th year in the profession and 14th NFL season, Louisiana native came to New Orleans after a two-year stint in Denver.
Wow.
I don't remember Denver having that great defensive line.
Oh, wow. Well, hopefully there's a new chapter in Bill Johnson's book. But something you mentioned earlier, Jason, our next headline, is Loomis's press conference. Two things that I extracted from there as being worth talking about on the show. One is that, Jason, you'll love this one. He said our location of training camp is not an issue and has nothing to do with the performance that we put out in our 7-9 record.
No, of course not.
Oh, come on. I agree with that.
He blamed it more on the changes that came as a result of the new CBA agreements and that it's one practice a day. And it's just a different NFL now. And maybe that's true. Maybe our coaches just weren't able to adjust to it as well as other coaches.
Uh-huh.
Okay, here's my crackpot theory, and it's very crackpot. I mean, even thinking that the Greenbrier had a big effect on everything is kind of crackpotty. But with the new practice rules, you want to maximize your good types of practices. And, you know, I'm sorry, but practicing down here, sweating your ass off and learning something, getting tougher is going to be better than
tough.
Yeah, God damn it.
You just
I said,
you want to get tough? You want to get tough?
God damn it.
Huh? Huh? You want Mike Smith here? He can make you dope. You.
Oh, man.
You dope.
Yeah.
Tough. Oh, keep that in. You hit your bed. Keep that in.
Shit your bed.
Yeah, you got to keep that in.
I kind of hate my. Yeah, that wasn't.
No, but no, it had nothing to do
with second, Jason. But
look,
don't you learn better when you're not about to pass out?
Right. Right. I agree with you, Jeff.
Well, that guy's 7-9, so.
I think perhaps.
Through that. Can't
they
argue.
Look, and I think we've said it throughout, you know, throughout the season. I think they might have, all of them, coaches, players, front office, media, fans, I think everybody kind of bought the hype or ate the cheese, as Sean Payton said in 2007. And maybe they were a little more lackadaisical during practice than they were when they were at Millsaps. I don't think the physical place that they played have any. It did not make them soft, you know, because they, like you said, that they weren't dying in 108 degree weather, having to have IVs put in their arm. You know, Green Bay practices in pretty good weather all year long, and they've managed to do quite well. So, again, maybe the tone of training camp,
mm-hmm.
the rigor of training camp, that's something that's on the coaches.
Which
that's
has nothing to do with the bricks or the.
No, or the location. No. That has to do with the coaches. Hey, look, let's make sure we do this right. Let's make sure we, you know.
Unless it is at a resort, and maybe there is a level of resort mentality. I'm on vacation. Rather than being at a school in a dorm.
And it's up to the coaches to correct that. And while they're on the field, make sure they're learning. You know, busting some ass. Chewing some ass out. Chewing Drew Brees out when he. And I'm not picking on Brees. I don't know if he did this, but you know, he's a consummate professional, so I doubt Brees is anybody you have to worry about. But chewing out a Cam Jordan or Curtis Lofton, you know, somebody. I think it was
or a Junior Gallette, because I'm sure he did stupid shit.
Right. You know, I think Sean Payton since the Super Bowl, and I don't think it has anything to do with the divorce or Bounty Gate being suspended. I think after the Super Bowl, it seems like there was a weight lifted from his shoulders, and he hasn't been that really tough.
Hungry.
Hungry. Did you just say the word tough?
Tough?
Yeah. Did you just say the word tough?
The word of the day.
Hold on. No, but I meant tough on the players.
Oh, but you said tough.
Sean, well, I can say the word tough. I didn't mean a physical toughness. I mean,
sure you
Sean
did.
Payton. No, he
is it all toughness, tough. Physical toughness?
No.
Mental tough. But that's what Mike Smith wanted. Mental toughness too.
I don't know about that.
Tough is tough.
There is and I forget what highlight it's from, but I know it's from the 2006 season. I think it's the first time that we had beaten Philadelphia in the regular season, which was a big, big game for us back then, if y'all can back. Sean Payton's walking off the field, and he's very stoic. And Jerome Payton runs by him and says, "Don't you ever smile?" And he's like, I'll smile. Mm-hmm. And that's just not like you said, hungry. Jeff, that's a very good word for it. He doesn't have that intensity, it seems like.
It's like they're still riding.
He's still riding the 2009 season, maybe the 2011. And you're right. After 9 years, can you have that sort of, focus? Bill Belichick here does. I know Jason, thinks the Patriots suck.
We'll see what happens when they lose to Baltimore this weekend.
Oh, they're not going. Oh, would you like to bet on that?
Guess who's not playing this weekend, though? I mean, we've now, how many years has Peyton made the playoffs and not made the playoffs? Okay, so 06, yes. 07, no.
No.
08, no. 09, yes. 10,
yes.
Yes. 11, yes.
12.
He wasn't here.
13, yes.
13, yes. 14, no. So he's 5 seasons, yes, and
5 and 3
seasons, no. Yeah. That's pretty good. It's more than any other coach.
Yeah.
Sorry, it's no Belichick.
It is no Belichick. I would say the Patriots missed the playoffs once out of that same time frame.
They missed it when Tom Brady tore his ACL. They went 11-5 and missed the playoffs.
Right, and that was the only. Is that the only time they missed it in the last?
I don't know.
It might be.
Rabbit.
Well, their divisions. Well, no, yeah,
Well, I'm going to say their division is shitty. My God, look at our division.
Well, this year our division is shitty.
Division. You have Tampa Bay, Carolina, and Atlanta.
So let's get back on track, though.
I do not think it's the Greenbrier. No,
are you worried that it's Sean Payton? Are you worried that he can't get it back without jumping to another team? Because coaches do need a change sometimes.
Oh, that's a good point, Rabbit. That's a good point.
It's like there's no chance. He came here with a challenge. Make this team, who is historically a loser, become a winner. He achieved that. So where do you go from there?
Okay, but here's the thing when you look at it, talking about other teams. Has any Super Bowl winning coach that went on to coach another team won another Super Bowl with the second team?
No.
Never. Mm-hmm. Never. So. Never. There's only a handful of coaches. Not even a handful. Yeah. And look, anything that I reference as far as history, it goes back to 67. I'm talking the Super Bowl era,
Right.
I don't know what happened when it was the
– I don't know
Frank Gifford was running for touchdowns.
I don't know how many coaches won Super Bowls before the Super Bowl era, but
– Well, the NFL championship would be the equivalent. But, right, I mean, Bill Parcells and Dick Vermeil are the only two teams – Dick Vermeil, Bill Parcells, and Don Shula are the only three coaches to take two separate teams to Super Bowls.
Mike Holmgren.
Yep.
He took Seattle.
Oh, that's right. He did take Seattle. That's right. I forgot that one. But, okay, so there's four coaches that's done it. But they've only won with one of their teams.
North Turner? Know? No.
No, nor, no, he never went to
Marty Schottenheimer?
He never won a fucking playoff game.
All right.
He has. He has. God bless him. But
Dan Reeves?
Why don't you slow down there, champ? Maybe stop
Dan, there you go. Dan Reeves. That's right. Dan Reeves took the Broncos.
Multiple losing teams.
Yeah. Yeah, but, multiple losing teams. But he got there. Right. So that's five. There. Right. That's five coaches.
Yeah. So don't be so definitive yet.
But no one's ever won.
But I don't want Peyton to go take another team.
Well, right. I mean, this is – we want. If he goes back to the Super Bowl
– it's going
to
be with
him. No, he won't. But look, okay, and we've got – I believe Sean Payton will double his efforts, talk to his mentor, Bill Parcells, and get us back on the right track. I do believe that.
This might be what he needed to kick him in the ass and wake him up post-09. Right.
It's his little crisis.
Mm-hmm. Could be. I mean, to a degree, holding people accountable, making sharper decisions.
Well, I mean, this could be the decisions that will determine the rest of his Saints career, the rest of Drew's Saints career. I mean, this is a pivotal moment, and we only have another 3 or 4 years with Breeze.
Yeah.
I mean, this is whatever decisions we make here are going to have a huge impact.
All right. So the other thing Loomis talked about was, when asked about the $20 million cap issue, he gave me a lot more confidence in him when he said, first of all, I mean, when you talk about the cap number being raised because of TV revenues and whatnot, that's going to cut into that, right? And then, but he didn't actually say that. Somebody else had said that. But what he said was, when you look at all the options we have with players that we can – work with on their contracts, and there's things that are built into all those contracts that allow us to do the things that we need to do. So, I mean, he foresaw this and he planned for this, but also he said we were actually in a worse situation last year than we are in this year.
It's what he does, man. So he works that shit.
Yeah, he is the capologist.
While he's not working for the Pelicans, he can do this.
And I just find it interesting because, these quote expert talking heads who know nothing about the Saints are all out on there talking about how, oh, the Saints' only option is to rebuild through the draft because they're going to be in salary cap hell.
Mm. Well, look, these talking heads, as you call them, they have to fill airtime. And no one wants to hear about flowers and sunshine. It's more fun to talk about gloom and doom and how, like you said, this team's in trouble and can't do nothing at all. Look at them and we can point our finger and laugh. And then every year, Mickey balances the budget, has money to bring in free agents and sign the draft pick. Now, like I have mentioned several times during the season, and this is hindsight, I think everything we did last year in the offseason, we kind of misstepped. I think we could have kept our safeties and brought in a legitimate corner opposite Keenan Lewis, and we would have been much better off than with the two horrific,
And with the little boy and dead girl that we stayed with.
Right, I mean, I'll tell you, like I think we joked about it during the season, these two idiots made me miss Jason David. Mm-hmm. P. Rob and Corey White made me miss Jason David. But anyway, look, that's in the past and it's done. Even the great teams make mistakes. But, I mean, we will have the money. Do not, this team is not in salary cap hell that we won't be able to bring anybody in. That's just ridiculous.
Yeah, he always finds a way.
All right, so next segment, this one's a little new piece of segment I threw in there. It's called Overanalyze This. Jason, y'all are going to love this one. Jason, last week, one of your final thought was about players being late to meetings and stuff coming out of the locker room. And I just wanted to know, is there any opportunity to expand on that conversation? Because as I was editing, I'm like, this is actually – something that might need to be opened up and explored deeper, and not just limited to a final thought.
I mean, you bring this up because Jason's always late for the show and we're always waiting for him. That's why you're saying this stuff?
No.
I mean, are you calling Jason out right now, Jeff? Is that what you're doing?
No.
Being passive aggressive? Jason, why are you always late for the show? Huh? How do you not care about the show? That's why our freaking ratings are going down. Because some people, you're right, Jeff. Thank you for bringing this up.
Oh, my God.
Hijacked.
Jam it in there.
Yeah.
Jaden, to answer for yourself.
No, but did y'all hear anything more about players being late? I mean, or is the Junior Gallette? Not that the arrest is anything related to that, but you know, is this just part of the whole, or is it that maybe some of these assistant coaches' jobs? Or
no. Okay, I'll give you. Look, as far as the Junior Gallette thing, it was an unfortunate incident made by a young player. The Sean Payton put together team. You know, we have had no incidents since Sean Payton. I think this is only the second incident we've had, or the third. You had Will Smith back, and I think that was 2008 or 2000. I forget when that happened. You had Joe Morgan sleeping on the side of the road. And that was 2 years ago, and then you had this Junior Gallette. So, we have some high. I believe we have some pretty high character guys on this team. I think that's one of the prerequisites. So
which ones were late and not taking their job seriously?
Well, again, we haven't heard it, and where the late thing come from?
I don't know. Jason said it last week.
Right.
Well,
hold on, and y'all can tell me if y'all think I'm wrong. Where that came from was Zach Streif on the last day when they were giving interviews. He mentioned something about, he said, we have too many players who are late for meetings, late for planes, late for buses, blah, blah, blah. And that, I was pretty sure when Sean Payton was asked about it, his response was, look, we keep a tally of, fines and everything. And this year it wasn't that, wasn't significantly greater than the other year.
I don't know. It's just the reports that came out.
Right, but again, I think that came out.
I mean, even not just those comments, but even the other comments, it just seems like.
Like what?
Like it wasn't
comments about immaturity.
It just seems like they weren't
leadership.
They weren't professional.
Yeah, lack of.
That's what it sounds like. This was not a professional team. Paid like professionals, sure. Not all of them were acting like professionals. Seems like that was the problem.
And also, even if the fines weren't different, the impact of the players not taking it seriously and other players who do take it seriously, who have been here and do act like professionals, think about it. Let's say you've been busting your ass at this company, all right, doing your job and doing everything you can to make it good and be the best company in the city or whatever. And then a couple of new employees come in and they're just goofing off and whatnot. Isn't that going to piss you off? And you're trying to get them to get in line and they're not, and they're dragging the company down. And
they took your job.
And the boss isn't holding them accountable like he used to hold you accountable.
Well, hold on. And I said this during the season. Y'all go back and listen to the tapes. I said during the season, that's one of the problems with getting rid of the veteran leadership like we did, like a Vilma, Will Smith, Roman Harper.
But you have to do that.
But I said that caused a void of veteran leadership in the locker room. I mean, that was probably about week 8 or something, about midway through the season. We had talked about that being probably being a problem, but before any of this came out. So, I mean, yeah. So, yes, was it a problem? Yes. Did we not have veteran leadership?
So it's not just the guys who were late.
Sure.
The guys who should have been holding them accountable aren't effective leaders either. So we got problems all over the place.
But, you can't make somebody a leader.
Yeah, right. You're right.
You know, you're either a leader or you aren't.
So, all right, you took the you had leaders and you had guys who were being led. You took away the leaders and asked the guys who were being led to become leaders. Well, they weren't leaders because they were used to being led.
And that's going cross-eyed.
Yeah, right. Mind-boggling, isn't it?
Did you say mind-boggling?
Yeah. All right, so that's that. Next segment, moving along. This is formerly known as Tweets from the Twitter Thing, will now and now be known as Look at Him Tweets. You like that better, Damon?
I mean, I'm not sure why we have to.
He doesn't necessarily know what we're talking about. It's funny. I saw him and talked to him tonight.
Ah, cool. I saw him Saturday night.
Who was that?
Mr. John Gallant.
Oh, okay.
We'll tell you the story.
It's a long story. It's kind of a long story. It's an old story back from '97.
Yeah. Well, who was it? Who's somebody's wedding?
No, it was the...
It was Melissa Terrio's wedding?
No, it was the Stingray Championship party. At the
oh, club. That's right. Yeah, that's
the club.
Right. Look at him tweets.
Yeah. God, that's been a running gag since 1997.
And it still gets me every time.
17 and a half years.
Yep.
We got out of one small little throwaway, just... Look at this guy.
Yeah. All right, so let's go into it. It's wow. Just the best title for the segment.
I mean, it kind of is.
So much better than Tweets from Twitter Thing. Okay. So Craig asks, he's the only one that tweeted, we kind of asked for tweets late, so Craig was the only one. He has two questions. The first question is, out of the Saints unrestricted free agents, which do you think will actually return? And before you get all antsy, I have a list of the unrestricted free agents. So it's Mark Ingram, Jonathan Goodwin, Robert Meacham, Luke McCown, P. Roblem, Paris Harrelson, Ramon Humber, Brandon Dedrick, Jamarca Sanford, Moise Foucault, and Shane Graham. Who do you think will return?
Who cares? I mean...
I mean, yeah, the list gets pretty shitty as it goes down.
I mean,
well, pretty shitty at the top end, also.
Well, I mean, the only big one is obviously Ingram, but from all the other guys, I would say Ramon Humber.
I like Humber.
Would have a decent chance of coming back.
Yeah.
Of us wanting him back, I don't think you know. I mean, that
right. Ingram may not come back because he may get more money from somebody else, and we can't afford him.
Right. But as far as anybody else, I'm not sure who else we want back. You know. From that group.
I think you could make a case for Paris Harrelson.
Harrelson. No, I agree. I do. I mean, I'm being funny, but yeah, I agree there. Humber, Harrelson, and Ingram are the only three in my book that we would even give two craps about. Now, you know, some of the other players, God bless them, might be special teams players. They might contribute in places that we don't really look at.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so maybe. But anyway... and as far as Ingram,
oh wait, I'm sorry. Right. I thought you said Corey White doesn't look at. Sorry.
No, all right. No. And as far as Ingram, I saw that. You know, one of the reasons that we didn't offer him his tender because his tender was going to be for $5 million a year, and I don't know, but if there's even, I mean, I don't even think there's a handful of running backs making that much money.
I would Peterson.
Peterson, well, not anymore. Ray Rice, not anymore.
I think Jamal Charles is probably in that range.
How much is right. Alfred Morris getting?
Oh, no, he's still in his rookie deal. He's
right. He's not getting
like,
nothing.
Like
you
Matt Forte is probably making like maybe 6 or 7 a year.
Oh, I highly doubt that.
No, I think he signed a...
Is Gore, Frank Gore still playing?
Yeah, he's probably up at 5 or 6.
Marshawn Lynch?
Yeah, he's probably... There's a handful that are right around or just above. There aren't many though.
Fred
I mean,
McAfee.
There aren't many. Yeah.
Right. I mean, not Fred McAfee. Fred Jackson.
Fred McAfee. of your series. Yes, yes,
I'll buy you a beer if you can tell me what Jeffy numbers asshole. Is Fred McAfee.
25, bitch.
Yep. Yeah, I owe you a beer.
Okay, who are we? Chicago. But again, so I don't know how much interest there's going to be
in Ingram.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure he's going to try and shop himself around.
Sure, sure. And I mean, as I think the Saints always let these players do.
And to be honest with you, conspiracy theory alert, I kind of wonder, Mark Ingram played hard and good this year because he knew he was going to shop himself around, right?
Well,
who's to say when he gets his contract, he's not going to kind of ease off the throttle. I'm worried that, and I hate to question his integrity, but I'm worried that he's going to be that kind of a player. So if we
what would make you say that? What has he ever exhibited? What has he ever exhibited to you that he's going to be like that?
I mean, his first two seasons were less than stellar, and it all of a sudden he shows up in his contract year.
Look, he's progressively gotten a little better. Started at the end of last season. Started at this season.
Run and carry it over.
I mean, I think he can work.
And he didn't really do anything that cannot be replaced either.
Well, you're right, and that's where the money value, and that's why right. Loomis is Loomis, because if it ain't worth it, we'll find a replacement.
Like, yeah.
You know, we'll go with Kyrie, we go with Pierre, we'll go with whoever we draft this year. We're definitely going to me, I think we have to draft a running back at some point, some kind of back.
Yeah.
Really?
At least
not,
either
not in the first round, right?
No, I would definitely would not draft one in the first round.
Right.
Wow. I mean, you would.
You know, like a fourth or fifth round pick on a scat back or a running back, you know.
You need a bowling ball.
No, you don't. No, like Damon said, you need a little scat back, a Bush Sproles.
Oh, Kyrie's not that? Kyrie's
no. No, Kyrie's your bowling ball.
Okay. All right, well, so I guess to answer Craig's question, we all agree that of that list, it's going to either be Ramon Humber or Mark Ingram.
Good job, Ramon Humber, getting mentioned on this podcast. That's how you know you've really arrived.
All right, next tweet is, which position do each of you believe will be the position chosen with the Saints' 13th pick of the NFL draft?
Missionary. I thought that was settled.
Damon.
That's funny too. The second that you said position, like I had it and I was waiting. I'm like, ooh, I got it.
Is that with the little girl or a dead boy?
Oh God,
Jesus!
I really can't believe y'all never heard that.
No,
Google
it. It was Edwin Edwards. Edwin Edwards said, "The only way I can lose this election is if I'm caught with a dead girl or a live boy." I cannot believe you've never heard that. Being all from right. South Louisiana, what a bunch of fucking retards.
Okay,
sure.
Okay, so what position do you think we go with in the first pick? Damon's favorite question, because it's kind of like a mock draft.
Right. I honestly think we trade down.
Really?
If we can, if we can find the right deal.
If we can, yeah, I think we trade down. Now, look, right this second, I have no fucking clue who's coming. I don't know who's out there. And I tell you what, I mean, it's just about, besides quarterback, you know, we can pick just about any fucking position on the fucking team.
That's why this is a tough one.
Right. So, I mean, I can't tell. I don't know who's out there. I mean, I think we'll go best player available, but I do not think. I tell you what, it will not be an offensive lineman.
Really?
Sean Payton does not think taking an offensive lineman in the first round is a good idea.
I don't know. It's not a good idea, but maybe it's not necessary.
Not necessary, correct?
Because the other thing is the issues that we have with our offensive.
It's like line, Jason buying a comb.
It's.
It's not quite that extreme. I mean,
come on. It was really good.
Anybody who hasn't seen us, Jason's bald.
Listen, What I agree with is because I think if the Saints are going to address the offensive line issues, it's going to be through free agency and not because they need someone who's going to come in and play immediately.
I don't think it's going to be I think it's going to be draft and lineman. I don't know.
I think we will draft a lineman, but not with the first pick.
I would think
a pass rusher would be the first pick.
Well, we'll see. We don't know what's going to happen with Gallette. What happened? What if Gallette gets found guilty and we release him? Then what?
Then we need a pass rusher.
Draft a pass rusher.
We really need
a pass
rusher.
Proving my point.
Well, if he stays, then I would say
if he stays, then fuck. But they weren't really that effective this year anyway.
No, I would say cornerback, but they tend to do free agency route for cornerbacks, at least ones that are any good. We haven't been able to draft one.
Yeah. Well, and if Stanley Jean-Baptiste truly is the project in the making, he comes in next year fresh.
I don't know. Maybe you go with a linebacker. I mean, a
linebacker would be nice. Again, I don't know who's out there.
Exactly. Right.
I have no clue. I'm not one of these nunniks who sits in my fucking basement with my fucking pants around my fucking knees, playing with myself, looking at fucking mock drafts. Okay. Those fucking losers.
He's mock-derbaiting.
Mock-derbaiting.
Right.
That's good.
Right.
All right. So, all right, you have to pick one to answer the question, though. I'm saying pass rusher.
I say linebacker. That's good as any.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go linebacker.
All right, there we go. All right, next segment is NFL reach around. No, next segment will be...
Have you seen this? Have you heard about this?
You know, we were talking about this Mark Ingram deal and running backs and all that, and we didn't mention, also in Saints headlines, got buried underneath, the Saints signed Tim Hightower.
The basketball player?
No.
He wasn't even in the league last year either, I don't think.
The last 2 years. He had an injury, torn ACL, and they repaired it, and the reason he didn't actually come back from it in the right amount of time was there was actually an infection they found that prevented him from healing, but he says now he's fully healed and they signed him for futures. First he was playing for Arizona and he's the one who had that big giant run on the first play of our playoff game.
Yeah. Remember play, like a 70 yard TD run.
Yeah. Tim Hyde, he was good when he was healthy. The question is, can he come back from a 2 year absence?
How old is he?
28.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's still an age where he could perform if he's healthy.
Sure, definitely.
And it's just a futures contract, just to, hey, let's see if he can make the team. And then Kenny Phillips, safety Kenny Phillips. Gimpy.
And another like veteran. Like he's been in the league a few years.
So
I don't know.
It's in the have you seen this? Have you heard about this segment? It's not, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not getting that excited. I'm not buying.
I'll be honest with you. I am curious. I wouldn't say excited, but I am curious to monitor Hightower's progress and see how he does in the offseason.
Uh-oh, is that going to be your new boy?
He might be, as long as he doesn't rip any earrings out of any stripper's ears.
That's all right. He can just blame it on the dog.
You'll buy a jersey.
Yeah,
I already caught it.
Custom-made Hightower.
Hi.
You could tweet Junior Gallette that you want your money back for his jersey. That'd be awesome.
I am sorely disappointed.
Take a picture of your jersey and say this was purchased on such and such date this year.
Right.
With my receipt.
You still have your receipt?
It'd be a lot cooler if you did.
Yeah, I could return it.
But, I mean, come on. Remember how pumped we were for Kenny Vaccaro and
Junior? Yeah, I mean,
we gotta go buy the jersey! Woo! And all of a sudden, those motherfuckers came.
Yeah.
Can't get arrested.
That sucks.
Well,
all right. So, one gets benched, the other gets arrested.
Right.
Yeah. All right, moving on to Pick'ems.
Time to play the game. Time to play the game.
all about the game, and how you play it,
all about control,
and if you can take it,
all about your debt,
and if you can pay it,
it's all about pain,
and who's gonna make it.
All right, not a great week of pickups for everybody. Fortunately, Jeff, you picked all the same picks as me, so we were equally shitty, so I didn't lose any ground. We both went 1-3, our only win being Carolina. Damon went 2-2.
I know I had to make one up on you.
Yeah, he got Baltimore and the Colts. So Damon's at
500, 43-43. There you go. And wait a second, what, who did y'all have? Who did y'all win?
We won Carolina. You took Arizona.
I took Arizona.
You took a Ryan Lindley.
Yeah, well, I was just thinking
he was, getting 5.5 points. Yeah.
Only 5.5 points with Ryan Lindley.
That fucking sucks. I mean, I don't know. We didn't talk about any of. Hold on, we didn't talk about any of the playoff games. Maybe we'll talk about them as we.
Yeah, as we do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I will say, Damon, out of everybody who played the extended version, you're the only one who took Baltimore and won. Everybody else took Pick'ems. I mean, took Pittsburgh.
I didn't know that was an option.
Yeah, I'm just gonna go with Pick'ems on this one.
Yeah.
Because like the lead, like whoever anybody takes the most, that's yeah.
Yeah, but Alex still stands in at the top, 52-30. Neil 47-30, and then Jason, then me, then Damon, then Wheelahan 34-34. So actually, right, it's tied. And Craig at the bottom, 35-42. Well, they asked for the standings last week.
So, all right. This week we head into the divisional round.
I wonder what games he's going to pick.
Gee, I don't know. It was a tough one, man. Although, it's interesting, the lowest spread this week is 6 points.
Ooh.
You got a 6-7. Wow. Actually, yeah, 6, 2 sevens, and an 11.
Just give us the first game.
So, just goes to show how much home field advantage is worth, getting that bye, getting that extra week of rest. But anyway, our first game, the 6-seed Baltimore Ravens coming off the upset of Pittsburgh last week. Man, Joe Flacco, all he does is win playoff games. It's a pretty amazing run he's been on since he's been in the league in 2008.
He's just an average quarterback.
A lot of playoff wins. Got a Super Bowl ring at the New England Patriots. Patriots, of course, coming off a bye, number one seed. Baltimore has played New England several times in the playoffs. And actually, they've gone to Foxborough and beat him, I think, twice as underdogs. New England, after that hot start in the early 2000s with their Super Bowls, has turned into a good but relatively 500 team at Gillette. So anyway, this game is in New England, and the Pats are favored by 7.
Pats are favored by 7.
Pats are favored by 7.
Damn.
Both teams relatively healthy. Man, Baltimore just wins on the road, man. It's crazy. I mean,
they're like 4-4 on the road this year.
Well, I mean, like the end of the regular season, they were playing terribly, and they barely got by in Week 17, like barely beating a bad team, maybe either Jacksonville or somebody like that, barely beating him, barely getting in the sixth seed, and just going on the road and winning.
You know what, folks? I'm gonna take Baltimore just because of the points. I definitely think New England will win, but 7 points is a lot. New England, and maybe someone will prove me wrong, but you know they're not really a team known for beating the stew out of you. You know, they just always win. You know, they're like the tortoise, slow and steady. So I'm taking 7 points is a lot in the NFL.
Let's see. The last few games.
Unless Jason and Jeff take Baltimore, then I'm taking New England.
So they beat Buffalo by 8.
I'm gonna go.
Or
with
they lost to Buffalo by 8.
I'm gonna go with New England.
They beat the Jets by 1. They destroyed Miami 41-13.
Okay, Jason. I mean Jeff, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, I already picked New England.
I know you did. Go ahead. Go with your boyfriend, Jeff. Go with your boyfriend, Jeff. I mean, again, I think New England will win.
I'm going to go with Jason.
God.
New England. They're coming off a week of rest, too, and planning and preparation.
Well, they are healthy. That's the only thing about New England. They are relatively healthy. So, all right, our next game. Saturday night, the Carolina Panthers, winners of the NFC South. Oh, ho, ho, won a playoff game in round one. Now, they did get the benefit of playing Ryan Lindley, which just for a second, it made me mad just thinking that that should have been the Saints hosting Ryan Lindley in the Superdome. And then I had to stop because I was just going to get mad because I was going to think about it all day. I was just going to get mad because, I mean, even as bad as the Saints were this year, we could have beaten Ryan Lindley. So, anyway, they're playing at the Seahawks. Seattle's favored by 11. 11 points in a playoff game.
In Seattle.
Now, Carolina usually plays Seattle pretty tough. I think they played this year.
Pretty tough.
Pretty tough.
They're a tough team, Jason. You like your team tough?
All right. Man. That's going to be a fun one.
That is like Pee Wee's Playhouse.
Yeah.
It's a secret word.
Secret word.
Yeah. Tough.
That's funny. I'm going to work that in.
Okay. 11 points, though.
Right. I mean, 11 points.
11 points. There's no way anybody can take Seattle with 11 points.
I'm considering it. Because it's... You know what? No, I'm going to go Carolina on this one. I'm taking the points.
Yeah, I mean, 11. I'm sorry, guys. 11 points is... Holy mackerel. I mean...
Watch Seattle win like 41-3.
Right. I'm taking Carolina.
All right, I'm going to take Seattle.
There it is,
ooh,
folks.
Ooh, like that. Jason's trying to make a little separation.
Yeah, I got to separate.
There you go. He's throwing the deep ball.
Right. Even though I have the lead, I'm throwing the deep ball.
Hey, it's like the old school Sean Payton.
All right, moving on to Sunday, the big matchup of
Sunday,
the day.
Sunday.
The first time, the rematch of the Ice Bowl. The 3-seed Dallas Cowboys coming off a controversial victory against Detroit at the Green Bay Packers.
Are they the 1-seed?
No, Green Bay's a 2-seed.
Okay. Oh, Seattle.
Seattle 1-seed.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about it now, I guess, because we're talking about the Cowboys.
Kind of have to.
We have to mention this. Mm-hmm. And look, I'm watching that game last week, and it made me – the Detroit Cowboys game, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I hate being that guy, but holy shit, they look like some home cooking in that game. Mm-hmm.
I honestly don't know who helped Dallas more, though, Detroit or the refs. Because it looked like Detroit was trying to give them the game, too.
Well, but that we all know the play in question, the defensive PI that they picked up. Even the head of officiating came out and said it was a mistake. He said basically that the pass interference call was a judgment call, but that a defensive holding call was missed earlier in the play. So even he basically said that, you know, Detroit should have had the first down by penalty on it was just ugly. I mean, picking up a flag like that, I don't know how you do it, pal. That's BS. What's your thoughts on that, Jason?
He might make a drink.
Oh, so on top of the no pass interference, Dez Bryant was not penalized for leaving the sideline without his helmet.
Right. And then there was like another holding penalty too. It was just, then you got Jerry Jones and Chris Christie in the owner's box. It was just, I mean, it's like, man, you feel bad for Detroit fans. What, you know, if we had to suffer through a loss like that, like how pissed off we would be.
Mm-hmm.
It's just got to suck. Just brutal. Detroit, I mean, Detroit hasn't won a playoff game in a long time, since maybe what, 91?
Since what?
91, maybe?
Since what?
What?
Won a playoff game.
Who? Yeah, we covered that in last week's show.
Detroit. Well, right. Yeah. Another bitter pill for the fans. To sit through a loss like, you know, on top of not having won a playoff game in over 20 years and then having to lose a game like that. when you had the lead, I mean, if they get the first down with the penalty, score three, score seven, you know, effectively put the game away. That's just brutal, man.
Did you see Ndamukong Suh was
crying?
Yeah, a little emotional after the game. Because
yeah, I don't give a fuck how he feels. Fuck that. I'm glad he's crying.
You stomp on his feelings, Jeff?
Yes, well, I stomp on his feelings.
Well, what did he do?
Because he's a cheating motherfucker.
No, he's not a cheating
motherfucker. A cheating motherfucker, but he's a fucking poor sport. He steps on players all the time.
He doesn't.
I looked at him stepping on Aaron Rodgers, and I'm sorry. When you step on something and you can feel somebody else underneath you, he went back enough to where he lifted his front foot instead of, stopping and moving forward. He knew what he was doing. Mm. I'm not saying he was trying to hurt Aaron Rodgers, but I'm saying he knew he was stepping on somebody and he just kept on stepping.
Well, again, keep on stepping. Well, again, the one problem I have is every replay you have of that incident, it's all in slow motion. So it looks like he's on him for about a minute. He was on him for about half a second when you play it in real time.
Okay, fair point.
You know, well, no, seriously, I mean, it is kind of...
They don't like him.
You know, it seems like he lingers on him. You know, no, he doesn't look and go, sorry, you know, but he wasn't on him, like I said, he didn't stand on him for 5 seconds. He was... Yeah, all the replays we see are in slow motion. Anyway.
So the guy that made the call was also found on... It's the same guy, right, that was on their party bus after?
No.
Or another...
That's the head of officiating that was on their party bus.
Oh, okay. Even worse.
It's just, you know...
Hey, look. Again, I don't believe in conspiracies. But...
This is not a conspiracy. This is fact.
No. The Cowboys Packers game is the NFL's wet dream. These two teams are arguably have the biggest fan bases in the United States and will be the most watched, you know, this weekend.
Yeah, it's going to be big. Fucking NFL, man.
Right. I mean, again, I'm not a it's just...
You know, when you look at Seattle, Dallas, Green Bay, and Carolina, one of these things don't belong.
Right.
All right, so anyway, getting back on track. Green Bay is favored by 6. Now, this game is going to be Sunday, so it's during the day, but the estimated temperature is supposed to be in the teens. It's going to be really, really cold.
I'm going to take Green Bay. I'm coming right out of the gate. Give me Green Bay. Dallas almost lost to Detroit at home.
But Dallas is better on the road.
Oh, are they getting some Popeyes?
They're undefeated on the road.
Yes, pretty impressive.
Yeah, in the regular season.
And this is the type of game they could just pound Murray. You know what? I think I'm going to go Dallas.
What's the point spread of that?
6. I feel a lot better if it was 11 like Seattle, but...
Green Bay's no slouch either.
Yeah, but I mean, Green Bay's good, but are they great? I don't know. I mean, Dallas' offensive line...
Dallas is 8-0 on the road. Green Bay's 8-0 at home, so go fuck yourself.
Exactly.
San Diego.
Okay, so it's a battle of wills. Somebody's streak is going to be broken.
Immovable force against
right. Fucking inertia, ooh. Bitches.
Damon, whose side are you on?
I'm going to take Jason. I'm going to go with Green Bay.
No, I went Green Bay.
Oh, you went Green Bay? Oh, I'm going to take Jason. I'm going to go Dallas.
Okay. All right.
Interesting choice. All right, and in our final game, a rematch of a game earlier this year, the Indianapolis Colts coming off a victory at home to the Bengals. Very easy at home.
Bungles.
The Bungles. The Lux got it done. Add to the Denver Broncos. Peyton Manning not looking so hot the last couple of weeks. Looks like the age is starting to show a little bit. But this game is in Denver, coming off the bye. They're favored by 7. Now, Denver also beat Indianapolis earlier this season.
This is a great matchup for Peyton against his old team.
Does the young apprentice overcome his master?
Does the young Padawan. Since we're talking about undefeated, Denver has not lost at home this year.
I'll take.
It's a tough choice for Damon. It's his favorite current quarterback, Luck, against his all-time favorite family, the Manning. What's going to happen here?
I'll take the points is what I
You going with the Lux?
Going with the Lux.
Oh, I thought he was going like to finally choose against the Lux.
Does Peyton know you're cheating on him?
No. I like those points.
Jason?
Man. This is a tough one. I am going to go Denver.
I am too. In the last several games, they have the ones that they've won, they've all won by more than 7 points.
But what about the ones they've lost?
Only one of them. So 1, 2, 3, 4 out of 5 games, 4-1. The 4 wins are all by more than 7 points. So I'm going with that.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not my net points, but it's something.
At the playoffs, you got to mix it up.
That's right. Well, with the net points weren't working against the spread, so I had to make a change mid-season, and it's worked for me. Well,
there you go.
All right. That's Pick'ems, right?
That's correct.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay.
All right, so there's no Saints preview, so straight into final thoughts. Jason?
I'm curious to see how long the coaching issues play out until we get a definitive answer on who's staying, who's going, finally.
Should I stay or should I go now?
But I guess, I don't know, be interested in a couple of weeks when all the coaching situations get settled and we see where we end up. I mean, otherwise I got nothing. I mean, football season's over. Go Pelicans, I guess. Woohoo! That sounds pathetic. I'm going to leave it in there.
That's great. Yeah. That's good.
As anybody who listens to the show knows, without getting into it, I have some dealings with the Saints organization on a professional level, and I get to go over there and talk to them sometimes and kind of...
He handles their dicks.
This is true. Anyway, I was talking to him the other day, and some news that we all kind of expected.
Should you say
this? Or kind of known. Yeah. But it seems Mr. Benson isn't coming into the office quite as much. He used to come in 6 days a week, only making it there maybe 3-4 days a week, about 3 days a week now, staying for a couple of hours and going home. He's a wheelchair bound, having some little memory loss, some short-term memory loss.
You think that's been the problem this year?
No, I don't think so. But anyway, I mean, he's definitely, I believe he's 89, about to be 90, so he is up there, and you know, he's had a great life and done some good things for this city and this organization. But I would have to say that, you know.
I think he's seen his last season?
Yeah, maybe. You know, that's what it sounds like.
Maybe his last full season.
Right, maybe last full season. But, you know, just send your prayers out to him and the family. Again, not that he's in the hospital or dying in a second, but like you said, I think he's seen his last season. And you know, that's going to be something when he goes.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the motivation the Saints will need to break through and get that second.
Very well, could be.
I think he'll put the little sticker on the helmet, TB.
Yeah.
Tuberculosis.
Some fans actually think of Tom Benson in that fashion.
Oh.
Hey, I didn't say I did. I just said some people.
I know. Yeah, and I will say, we've said this on the show a long time ago, that Tom Benson has already set up in his final will and testament what's going to happen to the Saints, and it's very clear there's not going to be any discrepancy. I mean, we don't know necessarily what that is, like whether it's going to be his wife or his granddaughter or whoever.
It's going to be coke parties all the time.
Yeah, a third party that we don't know about. But it's going to be clear cut, and there won't be it shouldn't be a distraction. At least that, according to them, the Bensons. So, yeah, I think, because didn't when Al Davis died, wasn't there a little bit of a discrepancy between the family members quibbling over the remnants?
I have no idea.
Except in that case, they were like, no, you take the Raiders. No, you take the Raiders. go ahead.
Look, if you want a good laugh, Google Al Davis's son. I forget.
I think it might be Mark Davis.
Mark Davis. Google Mark Davis if you want a good laugh.
Just Mark Davis, period?
Yeah.
Google image him.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Is he real?
Yeah.
It's really him.
That's really him.
That is the owner of an NFL
franchise.
No wonder they can't win a game. Oh my God, he looks like Cabbage Patch Kids.
I'm poor, but my God, I'm better looking than him.
Dude, that is a bowl haircut.
A bold or bowl?
Both. Wow, that's real?
It's real, buddy.
Okay, wow. Folks, you go ahead and do it. And you know what? If you do it, go ahead and tweet us with hashtag. What hashtag would you use for that? Cabbage Patch owner. I don't know. Hashtag Mark Davis. That is all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and for telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. Check us out on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast. And if you don't listen to us on iTunes, Android, or Google Play, there's the old-fashioned way of listening to our show, Dome Patrol Podcast.
.com.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, longtime friend and coach, Mr. Terry Malone Donkeys.
Good night, Who Dat Nation.
I went down to the bank just to get me my pay.